All right, continuing our discussion about the decision yesterday, three Republicans joining the Democrats in repealing a law that was goes back to 1864, but it was recertified in the 70s. Joining us in studio is the Arizona Speaker of the House, Ben Thoma. First of all, Mr. Speaker, thanks for doing this.
Oh, thank you for the invite. Appreciate it.
I know it's been a crazy 24 hours. Did you see this coming? Did you know ahead of this vote that this was probably how it was going to go? Or were you surprised by this when it happened?
I mean, it's hard not to see it coming to some extent, just because it had been attempted twice before. As you remember, this happened the week or the day right after the decision, and then, of course, last week as well, and then this week. So we knew it was probably going to happen. I will be honest, I didn't know if the votes were there yesterday. And so to some extent, it was a little bit of a surprise, but I can't say that it was entirely a surprise.
I want to read just one small piece of your statement that you put out yesterday. We should not have rushed this bill through the legislative process. The pre-Roe law has been on the books for decades and was readopted in 1977 by Democrats and Republicans in the state legislature and signed by Democrat Governor Raul Castro. Talk about, in your mind, the significance of that and the rushing to judgment here.
Well, first of all, part of the problem here is a misunderstanding of process. Some people think that if we would have done it right away, that somehow this would have become effective right away. And these are, of course, people that are already sort of set in their ways and have decided the issue of abortion already. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter if we passed it 2 weeks ago or if we did this action a month from now. What matters is when the session ends, because nothing that we pass will become effective until 90 days after the session is completed. And at this point, we don't have a budget yet. We don't have a few, you know, other things that are absolutely necessary before we can end the session. And so rushing doesn't actually do anything other than presumably make some people feel better.
So what happens next? Now, I know the Senate has to vote on it, but let's go. If the steps go through, the Senate passes it, the governor signs it, we revert back to the 2022 law of 15 weeks. Is that what happens?
That is correct. Absolutely. Yep.
And so is that sufficient in your mind to offset what the voters will have in front of them in November, which many pro-life, as I am, people have said, opens the door to interpretation in much later terms in pregnancies and much more open door for abortions?
Well, I truly hope so, because that initiative, as I think you and I agree on this, is pretty much unconscionable. I don't see how anybody can really defend it. In theory, it's a 24-week, but in practice, because of the exceptions and because of the very, very broad nature in which it is written, it would effectively allow abortions to the moment of birth. And that is cruel and barbaric, and we absolutely should have no place for that in our society.
And, you know, what's interesting is in the referendum, there is a referendum, Arizona's for Abortion Access is what this act is called. They are saying that they just want to enshrine and guarantee access to care. And they even say in that, as they've written it, it says until viability. But who determines viability of pregnancy? And that's the question I have about the way it's written.
Well, sure. I mean, in theory, at least from a scientific standpoint, as I understand things now, the 24 weeks would be the number. But again, then if that was the case, then why not just say that is it, period, as opposed to what they've actually done, which is leave it open, completely open-ended, to your healthcare professional making this decision. And how do you define healthcare professional? Is it a Planned Parenthood employee that is now the healthcare professional that decides because they're fully for abortion and fully for abortion all the way to the moment of birth that, you know what? You're due tomorrow, but that's okay because you can have an abortion today because I think that's warranted for the health of the mother or something to that effect. Again, it's so open-ended. I think it's on purpose. And I think it's indefensible.
So then let's talk about the reasons why a lot of the Republicans that voted yes on this in fear of this passing if something wasn't done. Will the Republican caucus and the Republican led legislature, will you try to get a referendum written that will be on the ballot to offset this one that would limit it to the 15 weeks that is a lot more specific in restrictions to give voters an option? Or do you believe reverting back to this 15 weeks in the legislation that's going to come online is sufficient?
So first of all, assuming that the Senate does pass this next week or sometime after, then the law of the land would be 15 weeks. At that point, I just simply don't see how they can make the point in good faith that that abortion is not available in Arizona, because it definitely would be up to that point. Again, if you're looking for the extreme version that the Democrats want, then I can see why they're going to try to make that point. But I hope, and of course, I think we all need to do everything we can to ensure that the public actually knows what their version is. Now, going back to a couple really quick points I wanted to make. First of all, I know it's been couched as the Democrats have done this with the help of Republicans. It's actually the other way around. Let's be very clear here. There's a couple of Republicans that have done this with the help of the Democrats. That is technically what happened. That is actually what happened, and that is what was attempted up until this point. And you know, we can agree to disagree with some of our colleagues. I know you had one of my colleagues, Tim Dunn, on before, just a few minutes before I got here, and I have the utmost respect for him. He's a decent human being, and I believe that he did this because he really felt that this was the way to save more babies, as he said. I personally disagree, and hence my comment about being disappointed. But I can still, you know, we're human beings. It's okay for us to disagree and still agree on the vast majority of things. And what we can agree on is that this initiative has to be stopped.
And so I don't know if this is going to be too personal of a question. I'm trying to keep this, but this is such a personal issue. Is there a struggle for people? I am adamantly pro-life like you are. But the struggle of looking at what's coming down the road and seems to be inevitable with this piece of this initiative that they're trying to get on the ballot, that if you don't do something that's much better than that, you're going to end up with that. So is there a struggle with thinking about allowing time 15 weeks, 24 weeks when you are adamantly pro-life, or do you realize you are fighting an uphill battle and you just got to do the best you can?
It would be disingenuous for me to say that it isn't a struggle. Of course, it's a struggle. For at the end of the day, what motivates us, that us individuals that are pro-life, is to save as many lives as possible. And as such, making the pragmatic argument, right, that if the voters of Arizona are faced with zero or this initiative, which is awful, they will probably choose, or they're more likely to choose this. But again, now we're having a different conversation. What if they're choosing between abortion up to 15 weeks and this initiative, which is awful, which effectively opens the door all the way to the end, then it is my hope that the vast majority will choose to say, you know what, we have enough. There is, in fact, does go too far, and we need to ensure that doesn't happen. It's a deeply personal decision for legislators. I will take a little bit of offense to some categorizations that I've said that have questioned our motivations and constantly bring up the fact that this is political. It's not political. It's not just political, but there are political implications, of course, and it's fair for you guys to debate that and for us to talk about it, but it's deeply personal as well. And there's nothing like abortion. There's no other issue that's quite so clearly pits the duties and the rights of an individual or a potential individual that is a baby and the rights of the mother to her own body. And so where do you land? Where is the duty of the state to protect one or the other or both? Which one wins? I mean, this thing is very complicated. I think it's unfair to characterize it as just political or just ethical. It's really everything.
Speaker of the House Ben Thoma is joining us in studio. This being done, has this been a distraction in your mind to some of the other important business of the things that need to be done in the legislature? And if the answer is yes, what is next on the agenda for you moving forward with this session to get this wrapped up?
I wouldn't necessarily use the word distraction, only because this issue is important in and of itself. However, it has put a pause on some of the other discussions. The truth of the matter is, we still have to get a budget together. We are finally making substantive moves in that department. We're having meetings with the governor's office on this, and hope to get there at some point soon. In addition to that, you know, we still have other issues we're looking at. For example, there's some ballot discussion about ballot referrals on some of the border issues that we need to really figure out, because what's happening there is only getting worse every day, and some on the economy as well. So all that's still in the works, and I would expect that we get right back to it.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I appreciate the time here in studio with us. It's always great when you drop in, and I hope you'll come back more often.
Looking forward to it.
All right, that's Speaker of the House, Ben Thoma.